This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to The Junks. We're presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of The Junkies. Looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Go to CropMetcalf.com to join their team today. Right now, we head to the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We welcome in Ben Standig, senior writer at The Athletic, covers the Commanders. Ben, good morning. How are you?
Fellas, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. I want to get your takeaways from Carson Wentz's debut as the Commanders quarterback in preseason game one. I don't think the coaching staff is looking to the media or radio DJs for cues, but when I was watching the game, I was thinking Carson's kind of taking the layups that everybody's critiqued him over the past for not taking, especially on his way out of Indy. Do you feel like that was a game plan that had a little bit of the let's Carson have the layups here in this opener and kind of get his feet wet and get acclimated to the talent around him? Did you see any of that?
Yeah, I mean, I've been referring to it as sort of an Alex Smithian performance. Took what was there. You're right, that's been a knock on him. Hero ball is a term that you hear from people who are watching him at Philly and Indy, and just trying to do too much at times. That leads to some of his lower completion percentages. But he completed 10 of 13 in this one. A lot of throws to the tight ends, the running backs, Curtis Samuel underneath. So, yeah, they wanted to hit some deep shots. He tried a couple of times. They didn't hit, and that's ultimately going to be where his real impact on this offense comes in. But, yeah, I think to some degree, getting him comfortable, getting the jitters out of the way, getting a feel for a few things, I think it helped. In fairness to him, the tight end room is decimated with injuries. He's missing a couple of the offensive linemen, et cetera. So, it's not the full deck out there just yet, and this is a good way to sort of get him into some rhythm. He was efficient, and, it's a good start.
Ben, if Logan Thomas gets healthy, he is going to get peppered with targets. Now, I know there are other tight ends that can catch the ball here, but he's the primary tight end pass-catching option. He should be in for a banner year if he's able to get back in the lineup, hopefully within the first month. Does it look like he's going to be ready for week one? What's the latest on Logan?
Yeah, not surprisingly, Ron Rivera doesn't tell us too much about when these guys are coming back. I mean, I think there's, he had said obviously Chase Young would be at least week one, and I think there's more optimism for Logan Thomas being back by then, but, we'll see. They're obviously, going to be cautious with him as they should, and, I don't think Logan Thomas is trying to go, full RG3 and be all in for week one. So we'll see how that goes. But you're right about the potential there for him when he is back. We had to do a fantasy football note the other day on The Athletic, and it was like, who's a breakout star? And I was like, look, it's weird to have a 30-year-old who's currently on the PUP list as the answer, but I think Logan Thomas could have a huge year if he's ready to go, because Carson Wentz, since 2016, throws to the tight end more than any quarterback other than Lamar Jackson. I mean, and the fact that he threw four consecutive passes to Armani Rogers, a guy who was a quarterback last year in college, in this game really shows he does look at that position a lot. So, yeah, Logan Thomas could be huge, but we'll have to see when he's ready.
All right, kind of give us your take on where Antonio Gibson stands with this team right now. He's an athletic guy. He's got some accomplishments. I think Cake said he's got 21 touchdowns in his first two seasons, but we all know his propensity over the last year and a half to fumble, did that again. Robinson came in there right away, showed he's a natural back. He can do all of this. Kind of a point was being made, I think, to Gibby, and even Ron kind of made that point in the post-game presser, you know, let Gibby know that he's kind of unhappy with. Where does he fit in this, and, you know, how quickly could Robinson potentially overtake him?
Yeah, it's such an interesting dynamic with those three running backs, because on the one hand, Gibson is the clear leader. He has been productive. He's got the playmaking ability. He's got the size to run inside. He's a former receiver, can catch the ball. He's obviously got great speed. See, he could easily be the main guy. On the other hand, you now have a rookie in Robinson who is much more of that direct, you know, forceful runner that they're looking for. Their best success last year was that four-game winning streak with a ball-control team, and I think Ron Rivera sees on that, but Gibson's not as consistent in that type of playing, so they went got Robinson. Then you have J.D. McKissic, who obviously is very effective catching out of the backfield. So it's like on the one hand, Gibson is still the main guy. On the other hand, if he were to ever be phased out, I'm not saying that's happening, but they have two guys who can fill in and do those things. So the fumbling is obviously a concern, and the fact that Rivera was, you know, pretty direct about he needs Gibson to be more a harder runner, you know, not dance as much, you know, I think he's a little bit telling. I'm not worried too much about Gibson's role for the moment, but at the same point, I'm not sleeping on Robinson either. I think he looked pretty good. It was against backups, but there's something that he's looked good in camp as well, and I think it's something to keep an eye on for sure.
Ben, do you feel like Gibson through his first two seasons is underutilized as a receiver? Because we all know that he came out of Memphis primarily as a receiver, did some time in the backfield as well. 78 catches through his first two seasons. Is he just capped, obviously, by McKissic being there because he's even better at catching balls out of the backfield? Do you feel like they can incorporate him more? Maybe he isn't a guy that should get the ball 15 times running the ball. Maybe it's 8 or 10 carries and sprinkle some more passes into his repertoire. Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, so when they drafted him, a story that I liked that I wrote, that going to his first season, was I spoke to a bunch of different people, some of his coaches from college, some draft analysts, people with his team. And like, what is he, right? Because he was an unusual receiver. You're converting to a running back. And the answers were all over the place. Some people thought he should be a slot receiver. Others thought kind of the way Washington is using him. To me, he just seems a bit miscast as sort of that bell cow back you're trying to run between the tackles all the time. He's a guy I want to get the ball into space. And I think to your point, like giving him more opportunities to catch the ball, I think could go a long way toward that. It's why when J.D. McKissic, we thought, was leaving, I was like, oh, okay, well, this kind of makes a little sense, right? You add another running back to help run up the middle, so to speak, but have Gibson as a guy that you can use outside. So it would be good, I think, if they can use him more in space. My sense is his touches will go down, and they will try to do that. But at the same time, you know, he does have a role to run the ball, and, you got to have him, you know, do those power runs up the middle. Otherwise, you know, what are you doing? He's going to Robinson the whole time, and Gibson's got to do some of that. So they do need to find a way to get him the more ball in space. That we all remember that Buffalo screen pass last year. Not saying you could duplicate that every game, but more of that somehow. Get him the ball, let him use his size and speed to break away from guys rather than plow them up the middle.
So, Ben, I ask everyone that we have on the show this year so far, like, why is the defense going to be any better? You know, Chase is hurt, big disappointment last year. They really haven't upgraded the starters by and large, right? It's mostly the same guys. They added Mathis in the draft and some slight depth, but they're not really sure what they're doing at linebacker. A lot of the draft picks have underwhelmed. They got the same D coordinator there. And, you know, I know it's preseason, so I don't make much of it, but I didn't see any real reason for optimism in that first game defensively. Maybe there's back-end communication that's better. They're certainly going to be playing against lesser quarterbacks this year, but I don't, you know, I'm not super optimistic on the defense.
It is so unusual, right, to have such a down year that they did, and essentially they didn't make any changes in the starting lineup.
Bring everybody back, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I would have lost so much money if you would say, you know, in the topic of, are they going to add another linebacker or some, like, you know, more notable cornerback depth? I would have thought that would have happened for sure, but it didn't happen in either case. I mean, I think the reason for optimism is, you know, there's legitimate talent at all three levels. Obviously, Jamin Davis is a huge situation to watch. I think he's looked better when he's closer to the line of scrimmage and sort of in attack mode. We'll see how he looks in coverage. I think that's still a little bit of a work in progress, but I think there's at least some hope that he's a little bit better, but, you know, better and difference maker are different things. The secondary, I think just the continuity aspect of the top four guys back will help a lot, but I think right after those guys, there's a lot of questions. There's some hope because, like, Benjamin St. Juice, Derek Forrest, Percy Butler, young guys that they like, and I think there's some reason to be optimistic. But we'll see. They're younger guys, and there's just not much proven depth, so that's concerning. And then, yeah, on the defensive line, look, obviously Chase Young being out, even if he comes back in week two, what does that mean? Is he back because he's just physically on the field, or is he back, like, being his explosive self? I think that second part is the huge question, because that type of player he is and the injury he had, like, I've talked to some people, like, you can't just assume that he's going to be that guy. And then without him, you know, they have some solid options, your James Smith Williams and Casey Two Hills, but you lose a little bit of the playmaking for sure. They're going to need Montez Sweat to have a much more consistent year, your 8 to 10 sacks, something like that. So there's reason to be optimistic because of the talent, but you're right. I mean, it's hard to pretend last year was just a complete aberration. Things will go back to normal, but, you know, can they be middle of the pack? That combined with Carson Wentz's upside, take his team up to 9-10 wins. I think that's the hope, but yeah, I can't sit here and say, oh, it's definitely happening just because, you know, what they look like in 2020.
We're joined by Ben Standing, covers the Commanders for The Athletic, also a host here on 106.7 The Fan. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Ben Standing. You tweeted this 16 hours ago that Ron Rivera said that Scott Turner, the OC, will call plays from the sideline this season, gives him a chance to have face-to-face conversations with the quarterbacks. Is this Carson Wentz specific? Is this something he's had done with his former OCs in the past in both Indy and Philly? Or is it just that Ron wants him down there on the sideline with him during the games?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not honestly totally sure about what Wentz had before, but I do think, you know, look, they've made a huge investment in Carson Wentz. That's, you know, obvious. They need this to work on multiple fronts, and I think, you know, you can debate, obviously, if you're the offensive coordinator, you can see, have a different vantage point sitting up high, but there is something to be said for that communication, you know, face-to-face with your quarterback, and I think, you know, based on where Wentz is at, you know, new guy in this system and just some of the struggles he's had the last couple of years, I can see where it makes a lot of sense to have Scott Turner be there to help, you know, show him what he's missing, maybe boost up confidence when needed or what have you. So, you know, look, obviously we see some play callers are on the field. It's not that crazy at all. I don't think it's a bad call. By the way, I think Scott Turner has been somewhat underrated over the last couple of years. Like, the offense obviously hasn't been great, but he hasn't had much to work with either. And I think there's a lot of attention going to be on him this year because of the Carson Wentz situation. And I'm excited to see what he could do, because I do think Scott Turner has shown some good things, but now he has a much more viable quarterback to run his offense there.
Ben, I've just kind of taken it for granted that the kicker situation was, in a good place with Joey Sly. Then he goes out there and missed the first extra point. Look, it happens.
Right.
It happens. You know, they pulled it back. You're going to have your share of missed extra points throughout a season, but it was a little jarring. Everyone's been commenting on how inaccurate Carson's been. Have people been paying attention to Sly in camp? Has this been sort of a trend? Has he been not kicking great, or is this just kind of a one-off?
I think this is a one-off. I mean, it was weird to me that, you know, obviously we know what happened the last few years with Dustin Hopkins, and they never brought in another kicker for any kind of competition. They had that Brian Johnson kid who filled in when Sly got hurt last year, and then they kept him around initially in the offseason. And while you figured Sly was going to get the job, I don't know, I kind of thought, well, let's have, you know, two kickers go at this, you know, after what you went through. And then they dumped Johnson shortly after they gave Sly an extension. And, you know, again, I'm not worried about it, but we know how this goes. If he misses any kind of kick in Kansas City, it's going to be like the first or second question to Rivera, what's going on with the kicker. So I'm not worried yet. He's looked pretty good, I think, from what I've seen in camp, he kicks with confidence. Rivera seems to have a lot in him, and we'll chalk this up to, you know, one of those things. But yeah, don't do it. Don't do another one this week, Joey. We don't need this topic.
Has there been any internal discussion that you've been privy to, have heard that the coaches are talking about, Ron specifically, got to get off to the quick start this season? The schedule is tailor-made for a quick start, a home game against Jacksonville, on the road at Detroit. Or is it all coach speak? Well, we're going to take it one game at a time. Like, are there whispers there that these are two winnable games to start the season for the Commanders?
Yeah, I don't know if it's so much about a focus on those two games specifically, but more of a recognition that they got off to very slow starts in these last 2 years, obviously, and they need to avoid that. I think even just simply they've tried to pick up the pace in practices, and I think that's sort of an attempt both to be more efficient in practice but also to instill a sense of urgency. But, hey, you know, we've got things to do. I think anybody, you know, it doesn't take much to look at those first two teams and think, hey, we got to, you know, this is a great opportunity to start the year here with some wins. And I think EB mentioned before that the schedule, that there's not these quarterbacks on the schedule the way they were a year ago. And that's the thing, right? Like, the most optimistic reason for this group to have a better year is, I think, the schedule. And that's how it goes in the NFL, right? I mean, that's just, you know, last year the Eagles were the team that had the easy schedule, and they made the playoffs. The year before, Washington, you know, things broke their way with some of these backup quarterbacks and stuff. So this year the schedule is much more favorable. It starts off very, I don't want to say easy, but those are pretty, good opportunities to get
cupcakes,
wins.
Cupcakes, Ben. Yeah. Those are cupcakes. You got to win those.
Yeah, I mean, certainly the Jacksonville game at a minimum. Any road game, I always feel like, all right, you know, we'll see. But, like, you got to win that home game against a team like Jacksonville. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the deal, whether they say it overtly or not. They know that they've got to get off to a quick start because they haven't. And this year, to not get off to a quick start again would be really unfortunate considering the opponents.
All right, so I think they cut from, what, 90 to 85 or something like that today? So they cut four or five guys. I assume that no surprises. Maybe a Samus Reyes or something? Is that experiment over? Do you expect any surprises today?
I wouldn't think any surprises today. The tight end room is fascinating, right? I mean, the top three guys on the depth chart are all currently out. Reyes, like, arguably would be fourth, and he barely played in the preseason game, and he's dealing with a hamstring issue. And that's led to, you know, two undrafted free agents in Armani Rogers and Curtis Hodgins being the main players. I mean, both of them look interesting, and frankly, Rogers, to me, over the last 10 days has really started to emerge. He's raw. He's still learning the position, but, you know, he's big. He makes plays. You saw Carson Wentz feel comfortable enough to throw to him on four consecutive passes, but I don't think any of that's happening today. I think it'll be some guys that we probably, you know, you guys probably never discussed here on the radio, and I don't mean that in a, mm-hmm. I mean that in a realistic way. Like, well, why would you? But we'll see. But down the line, yeah, I think the Samus Reyes thing is something to watch, because, you know, they've got some weird decisions to make depending on how the injury situations go.
Ben, thanks a lot for the time. It's always appreciated. Ben Standing covers the Commanders for The Athletic, at Ben Standing on Twitter. We'll have you on again soon.
Fellas, I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Yeah. All right, thank you,
buddy. When we come back, we will continue the Commanders talk. Did they find a potential stud in the fifth round in quarterback Sam Howell? We'll get into that next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we have two pair of tickets to see the Beach Boys at Wolf Trap on August 28th. I believe we're going to break out Zippy Dollar Pyramid to give those away.
It's so always fun.
If you're a Beach Boys fan, you like all the hits from back in the day, we'll have those tickets up for grabs in the 9 o'clock hour.
If you want to head to Kokomo.
That's correct.
That's the only one I remember.
I mean, they have a string of hits.
I know, I'm not a Beach Boys guy.
For a little bit of the older set.
Yes.
That's all good. So we'll be giving those
get
away.
Get your Tommy Bahama ready.
I have Jason's cologne right here if I need to. He definitely needs a refill, by the way.
By the way,
down to the nuts.
I almost called. I think I was driving to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys are doing that segment.
Yeah.
Now that was a good segment, right? It was good. Change of pace.
Karina was spot on, by the way,
Karina
with her description.
Was great.
She's like an expert. She was like sniffing out like sandalwood tones.
No,
and, like,
no. She was really good. I
really
listened
good.
To it. I enjoyed it. But I would, if I was involved, I would have. She wouldn't have been sniffing paper. She would have been sniffing your neck.
Right.
Your neck. Lurch would have groped her. But, like, that's what I would have done.
Wow.
I wouldn't have had her sniffing paper.
Her description of Jason's cologne was smells like
right.
grandpa.
Probably
which was the original Joan of Tommy Bahama.
Right. Probably leave the groping part out. That might have been for early 2000s junks.
I know, Cakes, I'm kidding. People understand
I
I'm kidding.
I know.
Yeah, that's what I would have done.
Probably wouldn't want to grope her. Doesn't she have a son who's a boxer?
I don't know.
A silly boxer?
I don't know much about Karina's backstory.
Yeah, I don't know much about her either, but I just know Jason's always smitten. So yes. That would have been the bit.
Yeah.
You know, I would have sprayed it on a body part.
The only right. problem with that would have been potentially she would have been able to sniff out. There could have been some bias. I think that's why they liked the paper. I would have just used the
right, like maybe. What if she?
What do we call it? The canister.
What she caught a whiff of somebody's pheromones and it caught her fancy.
Well,
who knows?
Well, that would have been good.
Right.
That would have been good. Anyway, I enjoyed it. I dug it.
All right. So the Commanders dig Sam Howell because they were able to pick him in the fifth round
mm-hmm.
of the last NFL draft, and he performed well when he was called upon in the first preseason game.
Oh, he was fun
for,
to watch.
Rushed for two touchdowns in the Commanders preseason game one did against the Carolina Panthers.
Was it PFF hated him? Like when they broke it down? You know how they have all these nerds that break it down and they...
Well, Logan Paulson came on the show yesterday.
What did he say?
He has the podcast Take Command with Craig Hoffman, and he said there were four or five interceptable passes, like he got away with it.
Uh-huh.
Thing is, you know, I've been smitten by Sam Howell since mm-hmm. I saw him in the Military Bowl. He was a freshman, and I just went back and looked at his numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So he played against Temple in the Military Bowl in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
He was 25 for 34, 294 yards, three touchdowns. He also had three runs for 53 yards. He also had a reception for a touchdown in
yeah.
the game. He had a bomb game, and I remember asking my kid, I was like, who is this kid? And he was like, oh, he's supposed to be like a number one pick. So at one point, he was regarded as a potential
for
number
sure.
one pick, and he slid all the way down to the fifth round.
Well, let me say this. You're not the only one getting credit. When I did my quarterback breakdown, he was my highest rated guy of all the guys. Who was it? Malik Willis that we did? Sam.
You got it right behind you.
No. I know, but who are the guys that were the quarterbacks
no.
that we
yes,
did?
You were
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
Ritter.
Desmond Ritter.
Sam Howell ranked 89.4
yeah.
with you, and the next highest was Pickett at 80.1.
And I had Valdez. I had him pick out some of the audio. I'm telling you, I loved Sam mm-hmm. Howell when
and,
I saw his
and part of the reason
clips.
For his back step was a lot of the talent that was around him at Carolina left and went to the pros. Guys like Javonte Williams, Michael Carter, De'Ami Brown. Like
mm-hmm.
So he was left without a lot of the talent that made him look better.
Right.
So he slides to the fifth, Washington selects him, and I think it makes sense in that Taylor Heineke's only signed through this upcoming season. He's a free agent after next year, after this upcoming season. So, like, you now have a guy in-house who's going to learn your system, and I'm going to guess Taylor's probably going to sign elsewhere. He's going to look for potentially a starting role somewhere or more money from the backup role.
More backup money.
And this is what you should always aspire to in the NFL. You shouldn't need three quarterbacks on your roster. You want to become the team where you've got your entrenched starter, and then you have a backup. But quarterback play has been so bad here for so long, I don't have a problem with the Commanders having three guys on the roster.
No, they need
They've
three.
Had so much flux with quarterback.
They need them.
It makes sense. But you develop Sam Howell. Heineke probably signs elsewhere. And then in 2023, hopefully Carson Wentz has worked out. He's your starter. Sam Howell's your backup.
Well, in terms of his talent, he's a tantalizing talent. I don't know why he slid down. Maybe it's because he didn't have the help, which you said.
Size was a big thing.
Size, but it's still, at one point, they were overlooking that.
Yeah, but
kind of in a Baker Mayfield went number one.
Yeah, but type of vibe. A big knock.
But a couple things that Logan said did jump out. One, he was warning, he's like, don't get carried away. You know, put up good numbers in that preseason game, but there were interceptable passes, which is probably what PFF is looking at, right? The other thing, though, that he said on the positive side was that he's not just like a third string guy like Steven Montez. He's a real quarterback.
Right.
He's a may have a future in the league. It's just not going to be this season.
And I'm sure the Commanders are fine with that. That's the reason you brought in Carson Wentz. They don't have designs on Sam Howell playing this year. If Sam Howell's playing this year in a real game, things have gone horribly wrong for the Commanders. Yeah. Like, you don't want to see him. Here's when you want to see him, against the Chiefs this weekend. You want to see him in a preseason game.
No, but like is the skill set, and that there's something there to develop. And as you say, he's not Steven Montez, who, I mean, Rivera even joned on him and said the guy looks scared in like warm-ups. Like, he never looked the part. Right. Never looked like he could do it. This is a guy who's done it, you know. And I don't know what you want to say about about Carolina's football program, but I mean, it's a decent program.
I mean, Mitch Trubisky is in the league. He's not good, but they've had a couple quarterbacks come out of there. Mack Brown's good coach.
The Bears traded up to get him in a draft that also featured Deshaun Watson. There are some question marks there. And Patrick Mahomes.
Right. But look, as a freshman, Sam Howell had 37 touchdowns in the ACC. The only two guys who had more as a freshman, Deshaun Watson and Jameis Winston, and both of those guys had either one or two more games than Sam Howell. I don't know what happened after that freshman year.
Well,
he
still did well enough that he has all the career records.
Sure. And then what you hear about him from everybody who's been watching camp is he throws a great deep ball.
Got a big arm.
He looks like he's got swagger, but he's a smaller guy.
He's athletic.
He's got
escapability. I think the size is what really hurt him. Yeah, I want to hear what my review of him was last year. Now, they run a lot of design runs, but when the pocket collapses, he still keeps his eyes downfield and looks for guys, which I liked. Again, really solid arm. I only had 5 minutes, but what I saw, I love this kid. And I'm going to make a comparison here. Maybe someone has said this before. He could be a poor man's Josh Allen, okay? Because he runs. He's got a big arm. It looks like in two of his 3 years, his completion percentage was fairly low for college, 61 and 62.
He finished 58th in the country in completion percentage.
1 year, he threw 68%, okay? But in the game I watched, he was pretty friggin' accurate. Now, there were some blown coverages there. There were a couple guys who were wide open. I have no idea what the reputation of Notre Dame's secondary was this year or anything. I have no idea.
Well, they had best safety in the country.
Well, he was running wide open, a couple of their receivers on a couple plays. But I love what I see of Sam Howell. I haven't been this excited about a quarterback I've seen in my commercial break film study in 2 years.
I can't believe that the Carolina defender fell for his ball fake on the scramble where he scored. He was 7 yards past the line of scrimmage, and he gets a Carolina defender one-on-one. And he just puts the ball up above his head to the right just for a second, and he fell for it.
Dude, he's figured it out. His numbers in college, he ran for 1,072 yards, and he broke 63 tackles. The guy can run.
Yeah. He can scoot. He can
what
move.
Do they list him at? Do they list
6'1".
They do? People are saying he's like truly like 5'10".
Could be. Maybe
he looks small in the pocket, but he looks. I mean, like on the flip side, because we got to watch Baker Mayfield. He looks similar in stature to Baker Mayfield.
Maybe he got measured in the Hokas because they have that thick. They have the thick.
That would be the move.
Thick heel. Come on, man. You got to take those off. Got to be flat footed.
Bottom line, it's great to see him play well, but this is something you just file away for the future. Don't start clamoring for Sam Howell. I don't think anybody would be clamoring for Taylor, but don't start clamoring for him when Carson has a dud. Carson will have a dud or two or three. It'll happen over 17-game season. But this is a good start for a kid who could have a future in this league at some point.
Do you think he should have a shot, a realistic shot, to beat out Taylor for the number two at the start of the season?
No. It's not even an issue. No, zero.
I think he look. If the coaching staff likes him and they think he's better and has more talent than Taylor, he should have a shot at it.
Right.
I'm not saying he just gets handed the backup spot, but if they think he's got a better arm, he's just better. Look, I love the Taylor Heinicke story.
You can't
I love
value
it.
The experience is too valuable.
I don't think it's going to happen, but he should be given the
They're
opportunity.
They're not going to turn to see. In other words, your number two guy comes in right away when your starter goes down. They're not going to give that to a rookie. There's no reason to.
Probably not.
Taylor Heinicke has been around. He knows the offense. He will get the first nod. I don't care. Sam Howell could go 30 for 30 the rest of the preseason with 8 touchdowns.
All right, you're not going for it, but what if the coaching staff
is not gonna do
if
it.
The coaching staff believes, hey, this kid's got command of the offense. He's got a better arm than Taylor Heinicke. Taylor Heineke's maybe greatest strength is being elusive and kind of moving around, and this guy can do it as well as he can.
Long term, he's way better. They're not going to go to him this year.
I love the Heinicke story, but I mean, I'm not trying to denigrate him. I don't think it's that hard to beat out Taylor Heinicke at this point.
I hear you.
The one thing he has is the experience.
He has the experience. He played 16 games last year.
Yeah.
He knows this offense probably better than anyone in the league. They're not going to just give that to an inexperienced kid. They're just not going to do it.
Well, it's the backup job. And like you said, the backup. Look, if Carson Wentz goes down, disaster.
Okay, but if Carson Wentz goes down, there's no scenario.
Maybe you give him valuable experience for next season.
If they're 3-11, maybe. But even then, when Carson Wentz gets hurt, Taylor Heinicke's going in. 100%. There's zero scenario where Sam Howell goes in there.
Oh, I think there's more than zero.
No. No way.
Taylor Heinicke's running out there first
because he knows the offense. He played 16 games for him. The coaches know what they have with him. Howell is a wild card, and I love him, but he's a wild card. He's not going to.
Like Logan's saying, because I know Logan Paulson. Again, you can check out his podcast, Take Command with Craig Hoffman. He breaks down film in an amazing way. He has his Instagram. You can see like kind of a taste of him breaking down film. But when he says there were 4 or 5 passes that could have been intercepted, like me sitting on my couch watching it, I may not be picking that up like Logan Paulson. But when he says it, I buy it.
Right.
He was getting away with throws.
I'm sure. But he'll learn from that. All rookies do. Veterans throw interceptions. I don't think it's that big a knock. You know, he's got to learn. But that's why he's not going to step in if Wentz gets hurt. It's not happening. They're going to play the veteran.
Coming up next, we'll give you all the latest news from the quarterback spot, QB quarter of next on The Fan. Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Again, a quick reminder, Junkies Poker Open is coming up September 9th at MGM National Harbor. It's brought to you by our friends at Potomac Metals. You've tried the rest, now scrap with the best. Live long and scrap on. It's our biggest event of the year. It's our signature event. We can't wait to see you out at MGM National Harbor starting Thursday. We're hanging out at the casino basically all day leading up to the NFL season opener will be at the BetMGM Sportsbook and Lounge starting around 7 p.m. So please come out early, hang out, spend the night if you want, and then we will be shuffling up and dealing at 11 a.m. the following morning. Cards will be in the air.
And it will look be forward
large,
to it.
It will be a large field.
We haven't gotten to hang with listeners much in the last couple of years, obviously through COVID.
Yep.
I did the P1 party, which was fun, but that was still only like 70 people.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
Yep.
Cakes had an appearance, but it was really a soccer appearance with a bunch of Bayern Munich fans.
That is correct.
Well, Cakes has assured me that I'll be able to check in at 11 a.m. so I can knock the whistle out, take a nap.
Assured is a strong word. I'm pretty sure.
How's the company dinner going that you demanded?
Yeah. Well, I demanded it, so it's going
to
happen.
So it'll just be. willing it to happen.
If we're bringing like 800 people there.
I agree.
You think they're not going to give us a dinner?
It should be a no-brainer.
Of course they're going to give us a dinner.
You would think.
I want a dinner at Voltaggio.
And the best part, if it happens, it'll be a nice early dinner. So we get to the Sportsbook and Lounge by 7 p.m.-ish.
Dude, a 5 p.m. dinner would be perfect. Would that be perfect?
It would be the best. It would be fantastic because right when they open, 5 p.m.
Is that right when they open?
Yes, because the last time I was there, I got a little sassy at a 5:15 dinner with my wife. Not 5, 5:15.
But God forbid, were there like three or four other couples in there eating?
There were a few other couples.
He's not big on ambient noise.
You don't like? He wants to be the only guy in a restaurant.
Here's what I like hearing at dinner.
I will say this.
This is the best sound ever.
Crickets.
Yeah.
Valdez, you can relate to this. So remember I told you when I was at the beach for a couple days, I was there by myself while my son was staying with all those boys near Secrets. Yeah. I went to my spot, Kirby's, and it was just packed with people. And I could have squeezed into the bar and had one seat, but it was just too many people. It was like off.
You know that sometimes in a small place like that,
two packed.
It's overwhelming.
It was overwhelming, and I was like, I can't even relax. All I want to do is just relax.
Sure.
You kind of want to act like you own the place a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Maybe
spread out.
Maybe have a little banter with the bartender. You know, last time I was there, actually, the bartender was from Bowie.
Yeah, common ground.
What are the odds? The guy went to like Tasker or something. I mean, it was crazy.
What are the odds? Hold on. Okay,
what are the odds someone from Bowie's in Ocean City? Yeah, I'm going to say hi.
Well, what are the odds that the bartender, who was probably 65 years old, was from Bowie? Like he lived and grew up in Bowie. You think that's...
It's a coincidence.
I think that's a coincidence.
I mean, when I was
of
in Outer Banks...
Of all the cities in the East Coast...
You're right.
It would have been weird if your bartenders were from Sri Lanka.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I see Russians there all the time.
I know, but you're not like in Aruba.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I thought it was shocking. I mean, because let's be honest, we're the most famous people from Bowie in Bowie's history.
I think you're right.
And then there's another Bowie person?
When I was in Outer Banks, we stay at the Seascape as our timeshare, and then went to the golf course, and the attendant from Bowie.
Where?
The Seascape Golf Course.
Bowie's wildly popular.
Outer Banks.
Does Bowie have a population of like 5 million?
I'm
unaware of this.
I was stunned. The bartender was from Bowie. It's stunned.
What do you think the population of Bowie? I'm going to guess 75,000. That's probably high.
All right. 40,000.
I'd say 100,000. I don't know.
No way.
Nobody knows.
How would I know?
Dude, it's Wyoming pretty... is only like 500,000.
It's true. That's why I want to move there.
Bowie, 58,000.
Okay. Decent number.
That says the
2020 census.
What do they do, census? Every 10 years?
Yes, you don't know that they do it every 10 years.
I got it right.
Yes.
I got it right.
We're still counting people. I don't understand. I never understood the census.
I would think in a digital age, you wouldn't need, like, it wouldn't have to be such a big endeavor, and it wouldn't have to be every 10 years. It could be every, like, 2 years. Like, every time people vote,
how about it's every no years?
Oh, you don't even... you think there's no need to know what the population is, Cakes?
I would save... so much money if I were in charge. Census, not important. Off the books.
My mom would be bitter. She worked for the census, and I believe your mom worked
for the
Census Bureau.
For the census. I would trim the fat.
I'd skip all the moon stuff. That's what I don't
think. All the NASA stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's good to have satellites and stuff, but like the Mars.
Oh, yeah, I'm with you.
Like, give me a break.
You're not into rovers or into Hubble telescope?
I mean, the pictures are cool, but this whole idea that there's like, in anyone here's lifetime or our children's lifetime, that there's going to be like life on Mars, get out of here. Like, there's going to be a Holiday Inn Express on Mars. Go F yourself. Not happening. That's a grift. That ain't happening. Huh? Yeah. Or Four Seasons, right. Whatever you want. It ain't gonna. It's not a thing. You know, it's a scam.
QB quarter of is a thing, and I'm gonna lead off with a new weapon. I can't keep a straight face. A new weapon for Drabhawks, whether it's Drew Lock or Geno Smith, throwing them the ball. Seahawks acquire J.J. Arcega-Whiteside from Philadelphia.
So it's a wide receiver quarter of?
For Ugo Amadi. Drab, do you know anything about Ugo Amadi? Are you going to miss him in Seattle?
He was a slot cornerback and nickelback for us, but he was getting cut. So instead of cutting him, they just took a flyer on J.J. It means nothing to me. He'll be gone.
Yeah, Arcega-Whiteside has a combined 16 catches for 290 yards and a touchdown in... How many games do you think he's accumulated those stats, JP?
26.
How about 40 over three seasons? So that draft pick has not worked out well for the Philadelphia Eagles. They're shipping him out to the West Coast.
Well, you mentioned Geno and Drew Lock. Is Geno still like the leader in the clubhouse at this point?
Ask the Seahawks expert.
Is he still the leader in the clubhouse?
Probably, yeah. They like his experience. He doesn't make critical errors that Drew Lock does. But Drew Lock looked very good in the preseason game.
I think
he's still pretty close.
I thought Drew Lock was decent at times.
Well, DK put up monster numbers with him.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I've heard from the fantasy pundits, they're shying away from that backfield with Kenneth Walker, Rashad Penny. It's a little bit of a mess, kind of nebulous. So with fantasy drafts upcoming, might want to monitor that situation.
Oh, I forgot I'm in a fourth league, Cakes. Are you in it?
I am.
The All Johns League?
Yes, the Johnny League. I got recruited because I have a boring first name, John, and everybody that's in the league has to have the first name John.
Or John Paul. Or Richmond John.
Right. Oh, my God.
See, EB, right. You're missing out. Yeah. Your name is not John. You're out.
Thank God my name's not John.
Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes said before the preseason opener against the Bears that he likes to take a hit in the preseason to help get ready for the regular season. Well, that happened in the game against the Bears. He was nailed by Trevis Gibson in the ribs and the stomach. He said, I got hit pretty hard. I wanted that first hit, and I got hit hard. He caught me right in the stomach, right between the rib pads. It was a nice first one to take, and it'll make me better for sure.
Mm.
Here's what wasn't better in that game. Did you guys see the condition of Soldier Field before the game started?
I saw an image of it, yeah. Didn't look great.
They had employees going out onto the field before the game, filling in divots like you were out at a golf course where you're grabbing, I don't know, like that sand that's in a container on the side of your cart.
Right, the green sand?
Yeah, they're filling in the field.
Did they have, like, I don't know, like a Grateful Dead concert or something before? Like,
I don't know. All I know is their field is the new Hail to the Commanders version of Fields.
Yeah.
It's garbage.
Yeah, I know. Looked bad. I don't even know how that could pass muster. Don't they have to have a certain standard? I think they do. I think there's some sort of certain standard.
I think the NFLPA, I guess, signed off and said, yeah, I guess it looks passable.
Looks good enough.
They need one of those. Is it a stimp meter? I don't even know what it is.
Yeah,
Stimp meter?
What is it?
Now you're offending Valdez.
Stimp, but that has something to do with how fast they're moving.
I know. I said something like that. Akin to it. They need some sort of measurement.
Some way to measure the condition
They just have officials just walk across the field.
Right.
Yeah.
Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we will get into EB's entertainment page at 9:20. But when we come back, they don't have a location yet. So can the Commanders still hit their stadium timeline? We'll dive into that next here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.